Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
What is better than this? It's guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. Kyle Krabs, Chris Schubert, your hosts here today on the Tuesday, December 6th, 2022 edition of the show. And you know what that means? We need to take the king of the hill off the top of the mountain and bring him back down. Joe Marino not joining us here today on the show. Our current king of the hill champion has been dethroned. Not participating in today's episode of the show. Things you absolutely positively hate to see. Chris, congratulations. You now, sir, sit atop the King of the Hill as the most consecutive appearances of our trio of Draft Dudes. Happy Chris Schubert is King of the Hill Day to you here today on the show.
I will not accept this honor. I will not accept this recognition. Our friend Joe is not here because you and I are together being able to record the show. True. We had a very busy day on Monday, so recorded the show late. We are recording the show late, and Joe is unable to make it because of when we are recording. That is not Joe's fault, and Joe has made it very clear that he believes that his attendance streak should be intact. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave it up to the people.
Hold on. Go ahead and finish that thought.
I want to leave it up to the people. The people can decide whether or not the streak gets to continue. If they believe that it doesn't matter, that it is directly our fault that Joe is not on the show, then I will take the honor and I'll run with it, and I'll be the new leader with like six shows in a row. But I don't believe that we should punish Joe like that.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I am going to state my case in my perspective, which is that Kyle Krabs and Chris Schubert are the only two people here on the show. And I will give Joe the chance to defend himself. Joe, please go ahead and do that for the people right now. There you have it. So take those two contrasting sides of the situation into account and make the decision for yourselves and let us know whether or not Joe remains atop the King of the Hill here on DraftKings.
You know who is still the King of the Hill, regardless of all this banter back and forth between the three of us?
No.
Our friends over at BetOnline. Oh, they are the king
absolute kings
of the hill. Basketball is back. BetOnline remains your number one source for all of your sports betting needs this season. And at BetOnline, you're always going to find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends. And as your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. They're always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, whether that's the NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head on over to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just make sure to use our promo code BELEAVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. I will tell you, Kyle, it is not helping Joe's case that it's Word Association Day and that's the day he decided to not be on the show. It's not helping him. It's not something that's going to do him any favors, but we will continue to move forward regardless.
Let's do everybody else a favor here and dive into Word Association here today on the show. We obviously have the NFL schedule that played itself out over the course of the weekend. But Chris, first word association I would like to tackle here before you get into the NFL games is Heisman.
Is that you're asking me for a word association?
Your
in
word
response?
Association to the word Heisman right now.
Undecided, meaning I am undecided as who should be the favorite to win the Heisman. Now that we know that the four finalists, I'm not sure who I would vote if I did have a
vote.
Heaven
forbid we invite somebody other than a quarterback.
Right, four quarterbacks.
What are we doing?
We are making it a quarterback award. That's what we're doing.
Okay. So, however you would like to proceed with the
the week 13 NFL schedule. I am mentally prepared.
Well, you guys know how it works. I provide the game. The dudes provide the reaction and word association. I guess I'm pulling double duty here on the show. Not only am I providing the game, but I am also providing a word. Is that what I'm doing? I can't do worse than Joe.
You're rambling right now, so yeah, I would say.
All
right,
so I'm filling my role very carefully. The first game we will start with, the Vikings beat the New York Jets 27-22.
Garrett Wilson show. That's where I would start. Obviously, the New York Jets did not win the football game. They made things very interesting down the stretch. Could not quite finish the deal. Some situational football for Mike White. Having to throw 57 times in a game is not ideal, but when you got Garrett Wilson and you feed him the ball and he puts up 162 yards and does his part, it's certainly a promising development for a rookie wide receiver who is, don't look now, chasing Chris Olave and getting pretty interesting and close for most receiving rookie yards.
He is going to pass Keyshawn Johnson in receiving yards as a rookie for the New York Jets. He's going to be the franchise leader in that regard.
What is that number?
Injury. It's like 997 or something.
Okay, so he needs 208 yards.
And he's playing well with Mike White. My word, I'm going to steal a word that you used about the Vikings a couple of weeks ago, cockroaches. This team just has an ability. No matter what, they're always in the game. They always find a way to win. They always win whatever. I mean, most of their wins this year are by what? One score? I mean, this is just what they do. They just find ways to get it done. Kirk Cousins plays well enough to get this team to the finish line. And listen, their record is what it says it is, right? They're a 10-2 football team. They're chasing the Eagles down for that one seed, and you got to put some respect on their name because they're playing pretty good football.
Margins of victory for the Vikings this season at 10-2. Draft dudes do math. This should be fun.
Oh, boy.
16.
Okay.
4.
Okay.
3.
Okay.
7.
Okay.
8. 8 again. 3. 3 again. 7. And now 5. That's it. Congrats on getting that dub against the Packers because it's the only non-one-score win that you have this season. It's pretty incredible what they've been able to do.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but both of their losses are by
blowouts.
Multiple scores. Yeah, they got
24-7 and then 40-3.
Yeah, so.
LOL.
Cockroaches. The Steelers beat the Falcons 19-16. I'll go first. Passing game, meaning can the Atlanta Falcons find a passing game to complement what they do on the ground? The answer is clearly no.
No.
But this is what they do. They've done this in every game but one this year. They're in the game. They have the ball with a chance to either take the lead or win the game outright in the final seconds. And they're in every one of them. They don't always go their way. They're 5-8 on the season. But Arthur Smith has this team playing good football. But we got to find a passing game. Mariota 13-24, 167 yards, one touchdown, one interception. It's a passing lead. We got to get better production than that.
How about I'm Ron Burgundy as my word association.
Vibe
here.
Association?
Yeah, vibe association, because really, Najee Harris breakout?
Question mark?
Cup coming? 4.0 yards per carry, 5 yards per carry, 4.5 yards per carry, 3.5 yards per carry on only 10 carries, and then 5.1 yards per carry in his last 5 games. So, according to the box score here, 75 rushes for 342 yards, which is 4.4 yards per carry over the last 5 games. Might not seem too impressive until you ask yourself, well, it's 3.9 yards per carry on average for his career, and he's averaging 3.8 yards per carry this season, including this 5-game stretch in which he's averaging nearly 4.5 yards per carry. So Najee has strung together a couple games in which he's been able to find some room to run, and I'm very, very interested in if that trend continues. And if it does, well, just how close he can push for his numbers from last year. I mean, Najee played in all 17 games last year, rushed for 1,200 yards, 3.9 yards per carry. Through 12 games, he has less than 700 yards, but the workload's down. So I'm interested to see just, you know, how much like the player we thought Pittsburgh was getting in Najee Harris we're going to get. Although it does come with an asterisk that New Orleans, Philadelphia without Jordan Davis, Atlanta, and Indianapolis are 4 of the 5 games that he's played. So that's the Ron Burgundy question mark on whether or not we have this Najee Harris breakout or not.
The Green Bay Packers beat the Chicago Bears 28-19. Now, the boss is in the room, so we have to be very, very careful here. But I am going to say this because I do feel comfortable. This is the first time we can say this. Chicago Bears welcome to the Levy Grill. This week, you will be one of two teams that get the Levy Grill treatment here on the show. We'll probably do that once we're all back together in our normal setups. Do you want to go first? I have a word for both teams, so I'm not afraid of you taking my word. So you can go first if you'd like. This is a very Joe-esque response.
Right now. I'm sorry. I'm looking for the exchange in the game where where Chicago turtled. There was a moment in time where it was like, okay, you can like go be aggressive.
Oh, and then we tried to kick that dumb field goal, and then we missed
right.
it.
Right. So I'm sitting here looking at the drive summary, trying to find that to summarize it. But the Bears turtled here is what they did, and what happens when you turtle against a guy who has historically owned you is you're going to get to the end of the game. You're going to say, oh shucks, I can't believe we didn't pull it off again. It's like, yeah, no duh.
Because you're
guys,
cowards.
Come on, play like winners.
Right.
Call the game like winners. Have some stones. You're 3-10. Go for a freaking touchdown.
Right.
What are we doing?
Right.
So, no duh. Here's your sign. That's my word association for the Chicago Bears.
I'm going to be positive about the Chicago Bears, and we can talk about Christian Watson.
Are you going to be positive about being outscored 18-0 in the fourth quarter and losing the football game?
No, that is not what I'm going to be positive about. Christian Watson, obviously, with the two touchdowns for the Packers, he could be the word if you wanted to pick a word or a phrase for the Packers. Record-breaking, question mark? Because Justin Fields
he's gonna do it.
Had another day on the ground. I have the official numbers here. 6 carries, 71 yards, and a touchdown. He is creeping ever so close to that Lamar Jackson number, and he is on a very good pace to be able to break it. As long as he's healthy.
No, ain't no stopping us now. Well, he's going to do it.
He needs to play the remainder of the season, but yes, I agree with you that he's going to do it.
I am telling you he is going to do it. The man has just crazy numbers rushing the football this season. He's been crazy good. He's got 905, and he missed a game. So giddy up. And this is, you know, the first – he had less than 150 yards rushing in the first four games of the season combined, and he's at 905 on the year right now. He's going to get it.
He also threw some seeds down the field in this game.
He looked very good passing the ball. He also threw two picks there at the end, but, you know, there's only so much you can hold against Justin for that.
I'd like to pass a motion. I would like us to I would like to submit the word association for the next game and have it apply for both of us. Now you don't know the game, but would you like to pass the motion?
No, I need to know what the game is first.
All right.
Just tell me the game. You don't need to tell
Lions,
me the word.
Jaguars.
Yes. Okay. Motion passed.
The Lions beat the Jaguars 40-14. The word association is hashtag our Lions.
That's right.
Are you kidding me? Look out, NFC playoff race.
Get piped, Jacksonville. See you later. Jared Goff out here ripping for 340 and two TDs.
Dude threw the ball 41 times
what
in the game.
What the heck is going on here?
You see Amon-Ra St. Brown's numbers? 11 catches, 114 yards, and two touchdowns?
You know, honestly, it is a good thing that Joe's not here because he would proceed to talk for the next 20 minutes Johnson. In a monologue about Ben Johnson, the OC for the Detroit Lions, just how much fun he's having watching Detroit scheme in, despite the fact that they don't have any really dynamic players on the outside. It's just one of the bright spots in offensive coaching across the entire NFL right now, and it's really impressive what he's been able to do when you consider you got Jared Goff at quarterback, and you know they're averaging him over 30 points a game. It's pretty incredible, and just all these yards, it's really creative. They do a really nice job winning the point of all those things, and
this feels real. I feel like I've heard this like this week on the show, maybe. Or
yeah, well, was it?
Yeah,
he did
Ben Johnson was a dude yesterday.
Yeah, he did it for the yeah. So. Yeah. If you want to hear the actual Joe Marino monologue, go take the phone off the hook, draw the shades, light one up, put your feet up on the couch, pour yourself a nice red, and just listen to Joe spit a absolute love letter.
Oh, it was he was penning a love letter to Ben Johnson yesterday on the show. All while I was trying to get a wee-woo in about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right, we're sitting here like, oh, is he done yet? And it's like, no, let me go on for another 5 minutes about Ben Johnson.
In a thing that Kyle hates more than anything, the Commanders and Giants played a 20-20 tie.
I'm going to let you go first because I almost said a word association that would have forced you to make an edit.
Really?
Yes.
Cowardly is what is the word I'd like to use.
It's an adjective for cowardly.
Both of these teams played like cowards. Yeah, that word that you just mouthed to me, I would have to have...
that wouldn't have made the cut.
Would not have made the cut, but yes, I would agree with that word. Cowards is what they were in this game.
I want to know what the New York Giants thought that they were doing.
When they punted the ball?
Punting the ball on 4th-and-3 from their own 45. Excuse me. They intentionally took a delay of game to try
space.
And get him to jump off sides so that we can kick a punt with 1:42 left in overtime to pin the Commanders back. You decided when you get up to the ball at 4th and 3 with 1:42 left and the Commanders take a timeout, the Commanders gave you time to talk about what play you wanted to run. And you said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to play for the tie. It's unfortunate, and ball don't lie, right? Because the Giants got the ball back.
And then they tried to kick a field goal
from Siberia. Yes. And you could say, well, you know, that's probably why Brian Daboll didn't kick the ball in the first place, to which I say, nonsense. Try to get the first down.
I would love to know what the numbers would have been. What is the win percentage if they would have gone for it in that spot?
I don't have that.
In comparison to when they kicked the field goal, right?
It's probably less.
Compare those two decisions, right? You're more than likely to win the game by going for it in that spot on fourth down. And oh, by the way, that's the whole mantra of your team. You're the underdog. You're the scrappy team that has got, no offense to the Giants wide receivers core, but you got like nobody that can catch passes. We got Darius Slayton running into Saquon Barkley in a key spot in the backfield, ruining the play. Like, can we be aggressive? Can we be who the New York Giants have been for the first 11 weeks of the season? Like, it just felt like they decided, you know what? We're going to play for the tie here. We don't care about getting a win. We just want to not lose because we want to keep our playoff spot. When there was a golden opportunity to try to win the football game.
Don't look now.
Okay, not looking.
But do you know who is one half a game away from being out of the playoffs in the NFC?
It's probably the New York Football Giants.
It is the New York
Football Giants. So the Commanders got knocked out because of the tie. Seattle has the 7 spot, right?
Correct.
And right now the Giants are in front of them because they're 7-4-1. The tie helps them in this
regard.
Correct. And so if they drop a game, and oh, by the way, the Giants have not played well for, what, 3 or 4 weeks now? They barely got by Houston. They struggled in the first half of that game. They lost to the Lions.
1-3-1, and the one win was against the Texans by one score.
We struggled against the Texans. We did not play well against hashtag our Lions. I know the score was close. We did not play well against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, and then we did this.
You want to do the thing?
Do the thing.
Okay, because there's only a couple of them. Who do they play next, Chris?
I believe they play the Commanders.
No, that's not true.
Oh, the Commanders have a bye. They play the Eagles next, don't they?
They play the Philadelphia Eagles.
Good luck.
And then they are at the Commanders, and then they are at the Vikings.
They're not winning that game.
And then they are home against the Colts.
Okay, they might be able to win that game.
And then they're at the Philadelphia Eagles.
I see one, maybe two. They probably get the Colts, and they maybe can get the Commanders.
The bet is alive and well.
I mean, that would get them to 9 if they won both.
They need 2.
To get to 9. Just when I thought they were out, they pulled me back in. That's what the Giants have done to you this season with that bet.
I don't think I'm getting it.
I don't think they're getting there. Especially with the way hashtag our Lions are playing.
That's correct. The Lions, by the way, fun fact, favored against the Vikings this weekend.
No, they're not. The Lions? That can't possibly be true. The Lions are favored against the Vikings?
Yeah.
The Vikings are 10-2.
I understand that.
I mean, hashtag our Lions.
I'll double check. Go ahead and introduce the
next game.
We're going to go to our friends over at BetOnline.
The next game, the Eagles beat the Titans 35-10. A.J. Brown revenge game incoming. I will read you the stat line here because Kyle, you guys know the drill. Kyle's in the weeds right now, and he hasn't heard a word that I said. 8 catches, 119 yards, and 2 touchdowns for A.J. Brown. Did you expect anything different? I mean, A.J. Brown revenge game, I think we all anticipated it was going to go very, 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 very well for him and the Philadelphia Eagles. Did I filibuster long enough for you?
Yes.
Okay.
So, well, I don't have the lineup yet, and there's a good reason for it. As far as the Philadelphia Eagles game, 1 seed. This team ain't getting caught for the 1 seed.
They had the hiccup against Washington. They had the slight hiccup against the Indianapolis Colts, and they were still able to find a way to win the game. And I think they've gotten right back into form. And I think they are the 1 seed. They are the team to beat. I'll tell you this. I think they're beatable. I think there is a recipe for success to beat them. I just haven't seen a team put it together for 4 quarters other than the Commanders.
Can confirm the Detroit Lions are favored by a point at home.
I will tell you this is
the Minnesota Vikings.
This is really against the brand. The Vikings might need to be a part of the Draft Dudes underdog money line parlay of the week.
Well, no, because their money line total is still negative.
So they're both negative?
Yeah.
Okay, so then that game's completely off the table. That sucks.
Na 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 poo poo.
Yeah, that hurts for the brand.
Chris laid a doo doo. 1 seed. Yeah. If I'm talking about the Eagles, you made a great point about A.J. Brown and the revenge game, and dude played
out of his mind.
So he made his presence felt, and the Titans, you know, probably waking up this morning feeling quite fortunate that they are in the AFC South. You know, I mean, they have ample wiggle room based on the way that division is looking right now.
Buckle up, folks. I don't know where this next game is going to take us. The Ravens beat the Broncos 10-9.
Sadness. Actually, no. I am here for the Greg Dulcich breakout. So Greg Dulcich posted 6 for 85 on an offense, Chris, that had Courtland Sutton,
mm-hmm.
Jerry Jeudy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we're down some guys otherwise.
That's really it. That's what we've got.
Greg Dulcich leading the team in receiving and in targets. Greg Dulcich had twice as many targets as any other player on the Broncos with 8.
I shared with you with this stat. The Denver Broncos as an offense this year have 14 touchdowns. Jamal Williams, running back of the Detroit Lions, has 14 touchdowns. That's how inept this offense has been this season. My word, this is a brand for me. I kind of have been doing it for the last couple of weeks now, and we did this when we were doing free agent quarterbacks. Tyler Huntley. It's going to be his team for maybe the next game or two or three, as we don't know what Lamar Jackson's knee injury. They said days to weeks. Tyler Huntley's going to get an opportunity here. He's a free agent at the end of the year. You have a Baltimore Ravens team that's 8-4. Trying to keep pace with the Bengals, who keep winning in the AFC North. Tyler Huntley, here's your opportunity once again to fill in for Lamar Jackson late in the season in an important stretch and be able to ball out. And he played well enough for them to win the game. He didn't play great. He didn't look fantastic. The interception he threw was a pretty poor decision. But overall, when they needed him to take the team down the field, he did. He got in the end zone. He won them the game.
Bro, I'm just looking at Russell's numbers.
They're not good. What was he cooking up?
No, I mean for the season.
Yeah. Well, okay.
How many touchdown passes Russell Wilson have?
Russell Wilson has 9 touchdown passes.
He has 8 touchdown passes this year. So good guess. How many interceptions does he have?
He probably has. So I know 15 turnovers leads the NFL. He has 11 interceptions.
Well, no, you went a little aggressive there. He only has 5.
Okay.
How many times has Russell Wilson been sacked?
Oh, it's a lot.
In 11 games.
Oh, it's a lot.
In 11 games.
If we say he got sacked on average 3 times a game, that would get us to 33. That feels a little aggressive. I'll go 2, and then we'll split the difference. He's been sacked 26 times this year.
He's been sacked 37.
Should have went with my gut originally
this year. So 358 attempts with 37 sacks. He was sacked 4 more times in 11 games this year than he was sacked all year last year on 50 additional attempts.
Dude, he has been really, really bad. And you joked about it yesterday when you and I were watching the game together. But, like, this is another game in which if they just would have scored 18 points, and that's been the statistic. In this game, they only needed to have 11 points. But this is another example of if their offense was just mediocre. If it was just a mediocre offense. Do you know the average number of points scored is, like, 21.3 for an offense? If they were just that,
right,
they would be an elite team.
They are atop the AFC standings right now if they scored average points per game.
We got an offensive-minded head coach.
With Russell Wilson.
With Russell Wilson, and we can't score 21 points a game?
1-8 in their last 9 games. The Browns win against the Jags in London in a game that the Jaguars gave away.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, they gave it away. The Browns beat the Texans 27-14.
Don't care.
Do we want to just move on?
I don't care.
Okay, we'll just move on from the game then.
Still don't care.
The Seahawks.
I don't.
I was picking up what you were putting down. I moved on. I moved on to the next game. The Seahawks beat the Rams 27-23.
Our Seahawks.
Oh, hashtag our Seahawks.
How about over under 3.5 for Geno Smith in the MVP race right now?
I would take the over. He's probably top 5.
Well, the Seahawks are 7-5. Geno in this game dropping.
Oh, he played well.
What, he completed 71% of his 72% of his pass attempts, 367 for 3 TDs. You know how many consecutive games Geno Smith has had a passer rating in excess of over 100?
It's probably a couple.
Not a math guy. Drafted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then he had a down game against Arizona, and then he had another 2 against New Orleans and Detroit. So that is 8 of his last 9 games, he has a passer rating in excess of 100 this season.
Disaster would be my word. The Los Angeles Rams are an absolute disaster.
Oh, who could have seen that coming?
And they're 3-9. Stafford's on IR. He's probably done for the entire season.
He's done. Aaron Donald, done.
Sean McVay, done.
Like done.
And so if that, so Matthew Stafford, done.
And when we say done, we don't mean like done. We mean like you are done. Like see cooked. You later. Like enjoy the booth, right? Like,
and that's McVay, Stafford, and Aaron Donald. If all three of those guys decide to walk away this year, this is just conjecture on our part. What does that team have? They are gifting the Detroit Lions a top three pick. Gifting them a top three pick.
But they won the Super Bowl.
Won the Super Bowl. So, you know,
And we don't know anything. We're not reporting anything. But it there's a lot of negative energy right now.
You can just feel it.
Right? Yeah. It's kind of permeating anytime they're on television, anytime you see them on the TV screen. It's just there's not a lot of good. And you can expect that with as many injured players as the Rams have and the roster that's whittled away the degree that it had. But even I studied this team in the summer, and I'm like, yeah, they're really top-heavy, and they don't have a lot of depth. And they let a lot of adequate starters or worse or better walk this offseason and didn't really replace it other than Allen Robinson and Bobby Wagner, right? Never in a million years did I dream the Rams would be this bad.
3-9
bad.
They are
bad.
Yeah, they took stars and scrubs to a whole new level as a methodology for this season. The 49ers beat the Dolphins 33-17. My word for this game is Shanahan. We are going to see if Kyle Shanahan can get out of Brock Purdy what we've seen him be able to do in the past. We've seen Nick Mullins be able to do some work in this offense. We've seen CJ Beathard at times be able to be productive in this offense. We've seen Brock Purdy do it. We've seen Jimmy Garoppolo do it. We've seen Trey Lance kind of do it. This is what Shanahan does, right? And no matter who the quarterback is, the system is able to put them in positions to succeed. Can he do it again with a team that, in my opinion, Kyle, you know how I feel about this 49ers team. If Jimmy Garoppolo was on this team, they should be considered a candidate to win the NFC. Right, I know we just talked about the Eagles, but I do think the 49ers are one of those teams that could have the recipe to beat the Eagles if they had Jimmy Garoppolo. They now have to show if with Brock Purdy, maybe potentially Baker Mayfield, we don't know what that's going to look like. At least as of the recording of the show, we know he's going to go on waivers and nothing's really happened yet. So that's my takeaway. The game itself, I don't really put too much stock into because obviously you look at the Jimmy Garoppolo injury and then you extrapolate from there. But that's my takeaway from this game.
My word for Dolphins fans is little throwback from Aaron Rodgers. Relax. Okay? Your quarterback played like trash. You turned the ball over 4 times. You had a bunch of 3-and-outs. You possessed the ball for 19 minutes in this football game. And yeah, you hit 2 explosive plays to score 2 touchdowns. It's nice. You look up, you're down 6 points, more than halfway through the fourth quarter. You have a 4th-and-2 that unfortunately the refs didn't feel like Mike Gesicki trapped the ball against the side of his helmet when he rolled out of bounds and ruled it incomplete, and things fell apart down the stretch for you. The defense didn't give up a touchdown in the second half of the game. They got pretty aggressive with Brock Purdy. But for a little perspective, the Dolphins are 8-4, and not a math guy, but that's 12 games.
It's right? True. I can confirm.
So you won 8 of your 12 games this season to this point. And last year, your last 8 games, you were 7-1. You are 15-5 in your last 20 games played.
I think any fan of any team would take that stretch.
Tua Tagovailoa was 14-2 in his last 16 starts, coming into a West Coast road trip game against a potential Super Bowl contender, and we don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be.
Oh, by the way, with changes at left tackle and right tackle entering.
Yes, Teron Armstead did not play in this football game. Can we just not burn the house down at the first sign of any level of adversity, please? Can we all just take a collective deep breath? Last I checked, the teams behind you in the playoff standings right now, the 7-5 Jets, guess what? You play them again.
Mm-hmm.
The 6-6 Los Angeles Chargers.
You play them next
guess
week.
Guess what? You play them on Sunday Night Football. The 6-6 New England Patriots. Guess what? You play them again. The team that you're a game behind in the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills, guess what? You play them again, and you've already beaten them head-to-head. it's not the end of the world. And Dolphins, we're so preconditioned to just the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And I get the game sucked, right? It was not an enjoyable game. The first play was fun. Trent Sherfield's 75-yard tutty. Yeah, that was great. And then Brock Purdy comes in and you say, wow, like this has set up
as a golden opportunity.
A golden opportunity to cash yourself and move yourself to 9-3. It didn't happen. But law of averages is a real thing. I genuinely believe that. And when you look at what the Dolphins have done over the last 20 games that they've played, to sit here and bemoan anything about the situation when you're 8-4, it's the big picture perspective. The Dolphins are going to have every opportunity to be the team that any Dolphins fan hoped that they would be 10 days ago.
The Bengals beat the Chiefs 27-24. Kryptonite is the word that I would use. The Bengals, for whatever reason, with Joe Burrow, appear to be the Kansas City Chiefs' kryptonite. They have beat them in the calendar year 2022 three times. Three times they've beaten this team.
What do you think it is about that? How do you obviously Jamar Chase coming back is big, and favorites would be my phrase, because I think the Bengals are comfortably now the favorites in the AFC North.
Yeah, I mean, you have the Ravens who haven't looked great and now are going to be without Lamar for an indefinite amount of time. Yes, I would tend to agree that the Bengals are the favorites.
The Bengals are 8-2 in their last 10 football. They're playing good football.
Yeah.
Right? And you go into this matchup and you knock off the Chiefs? You kidding me? I think this is a team that's playing hot. They went through the adversity portion of their stretch with the bad offensive line play, and they've put themselves in a very good situation. I mean, they ran the ball 34 times for 152 yards, and Joe Mixon didn't play.
That'll work.
That'll play. And then, oh, by the way, Jamar Chase 7-97 on his first game back. So,
glad to see him back. The Raiders beat the Chargers 27-20. You want to share the word on this one?
Yuck.
Devontae Adams was going to be my choice.
Oh, that's fine. He was a dude for me yesterday, so I don't want to be.
That's fair. I'll take the opportunity now to talk about Devontae Adams, 8 catches for 177 yards and 2 touchdowns. But I think your yuck is going to be about the 6-6 Chargers, so I will. The floor is yours.
Yeah, this is tough. I mean, they're scrambling right now a little bit, and I understand that they're really banged up, missing your left tackle, you're missing your right tackle, you're missing your starting center, you're missing Mike Williams, right? Like, you got Keenan Allen back, and Palmer's been playing well, but just generally speaking, Herbert was sacked 5 times in this football game. He was 28-47, 335 yards, sacked 5 times. It's tough. The Chargers, 3.3 yards per carry. They have, in general, been bad on the trenches on both sides of the ball. And that is a really hard way to make a living. They, as a team, are averaging 3.7 yards per carry. They have what ESPN qualifies as, quote-unquote, big runs this year. And I'm going to look to see the index to see what that qualifies as.
Yeah.
They have 3 big runs all season.
3 long. Big runs.
Yeah, 3 big runs.
Do you want to do the thing real quick?
Yeah, we can do the
Dolphins the this week. Titans next week.
20-plus yard rushing plays, by the way.
So we have 3 big runs.
We have 4 for the team. Austin Eckler has 3 individual.
Okay.
Herbert has the other one.
We have Dolphins and Titans at home the next 2 weeks. We have the Colts on the road. We have the Rams at home, and we have to go to Denver. There's an opportunity there in those last 3 games. If you win those 3, you get to 9, and you win one of Dolphins or Titans, you get to 10.
Yep.
But it is a very, very, very thin margin for them to get there.
So it's going to be hard to lean into the talent, right, because they are banged up.
Yep.
So let me ask you this. Let's ask it this way. Which team would you consider to be better coached between the Dolphins and the Chargers?
The Dolphins.
Which team would you consider to be better coached between the Titans and the Chargers?
The Titans.
Which team would you consider to be better coached between the Colts and the Chargers?
The Chargers.
Which team would you consider to be better coached between the...
It's the Rams.
The Rams and the Chargers.
It's the Rams, but it's closer than I think people would think.
And as big of a dumpster fire as the Chargers are with injuries right now,
they're a better coaching staff than Denver.
Right. So I think you look at coaching is going to be the big thing down the stretch for the Chargers.
Can they get that fixed? And go on a run here the last 5 weeks.
I think they're going to have their objective to be to win one of the next two.
And then you got to win them out.
And then you got to run the table with the last three, which is very feasible, and I think they will win those last three games.
So get one here over the next two.
You're going to have to get one of the next two.
The Chargers playing a must-win game the final week of the season against an AFC West opponent. Never heard of it before.
Yeah, surely that won't blow up and go nuclear.
The Cowboys beat the Colts 54-19.
LOL. That's is the phrase that comes to mind for me when you give up 33 points in the fourth quarter alone. Are you kidding me? LOL.
My word is the bag, as in that is what Tony Pollard is going to get. 12 carries, 91 yards, and two touchdowns. Pay the man. Pay the man.
Can we revisit the decision to put Matt Ryan back into the lineup? Three interceptions.
Yes, how would you like to, what about it would you like to revisit here on the
Chris,
show?
Chris, he is 33rd in the NFL in interceptions.
Okay.
That's
not good.
If you took every team and you put them all out there with their starting quarterback, Matt Ryan would rank behind all of them for interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Can we? I don't know, man. Like, here's the thing. Like, you know what you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you knew what you were when you signed Jeff Saturday. Just go ahead and evaluate your young talent. But can we lean into it a little bit? I'm not asking you to tank games, but like Matt Ryan's donezo.
No, I worry, and what this is one of the reasons why the hire just bothers me. I just worry about their ability to develop young players right now. I just worry greatly about that because they're obviously going to, I shouldn't say obviously, because they just hired Jeff Saturday. I'm assuming very strongly that Jeff Saturday is not going to be the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts next season. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to get a brand new head coach, which means we're going to bring in a brand new staff, right? They're going to probably clean most of the house and bring in a new staff. And so if we're going to bring in a new staff, so what we're learning right now might not be what we're learning with the next group. And so now we're wasting a year of development with, oh, by the way, a GM whose mantra has been, we're going to fill all of our needs with development players and develop them and get them ready to take over, and yet we're doing this back and forth thing. It to me, the Colts are in really bad shape, and Chris Ballard's going to have a very tough task this offseason to get this team in a position to where they're going to be able to turn this around quickly.
Who finishes higher in the standings, the Jaguars or the Colts?
The Jags.
You think so?
I think the Jags are a better coach team. I think the Jags right now are playing as a better team. I know they didn't play well against the Lions, so this is a really tough thing to say here today. But I think Trevor Lawrence, as of late, is playing better, and I'll take the better quarterback play down the stretch. I'll take Trevor Lawrence over Matt Ryan.
Just hear me out. At Titans, Cowboys, at Jets, Texans, Titans.
Oh, they might only win one game.
That's the Jags.
Oh, boy, that's tough. What would that get? One more win would get them to what, five?
Five. It'd be 5-12.
Oh, boy.
The Colts, down the stretch, their last five games, four games, because they have not taken the bye yet. Vikings, Chargers, Giants, Texans. Colts a half a game in front right now because they have the tie.
There's probably at least one in there, if not two. The Colts, all right, I've changed my answer. I think it's the Colts.
Yeah. It's
unfortunate.
I agree with you of the outlook of the teams, but the schedule's not going to cooperate here, I don't think.
That's it. Those are all the games.
That's it.
That we have. I thought I thought the most fluid episode of word association that we've ever done.
No, I can't take credit for that because I sat here and got real clunky looking for the Bears.
And for the odds for the...
And for the odds.
It was a little clunky, you're right. Joe, we missed you.
And then I had to put the filter on.
Yeah, okay, another, you're right. Like, it was a little clunky.
I did my best Joe Marino impression.
It's like he was here the whole time.
Just like he was here the whole time. Joe, you were here in spirit. You did a great job. Joe, make sure you thank everybody for checking out the show, huh?
All right, thanks, Joe. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, that was good. Good work.
That was very good. A little bit of programming note for everybody today. We are still going to do the weekly watch list on Thursday, but yes, we only have an NFL slate.
Yes.
We are not going to do... a big board this week, more than likely, because we have two Levy Grail teams to do. The Texans and the Bears have to get the Levy Grail treatment. So the big board, and we do know what the next big board is going to be. We're going to big board our top five GMs in the National Football League. We're going to punt that for another week because we have two Levy Grail teams to get to and talk about their future. So with a shortened weekly watch list this week, that's what we're going to do on Thursday. We're checking the tape tomorrow. We'll do a tier maker. We'll do all that stuff. Maybe we tier maker the GMs instead of big boarding them?
I don't know.
Maybe
scientists don't even know.
You'll just have to come back and see what happens.
That's right. Kyle Krabs, Chris Schubert, no Joe Marino. Thanks for checking out the show. Thanks to our friends over at Bet Online for their continued support as well. Make it a great rest of your Tuesday, and we will talk with you all again tomorrow.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.